那
那
人呢
一
小姐妹爸爸想你爱惜妈妈买up a new
yard
and drive away yet that which show them lamentation which chokes in
them
drying up in the honor of the senses of Abhya achieving Bhuma on the earth asapatnam without rival Vridam, prosperous. Rajam, kingdom. Suranam, of the demigods. Api, Edom. Cha, also. Adipatyam, supremacy. Translation for the Lord Ashura Prabhupada. I can find no means to drive away this grief. Which is drying up my senses. I will not be able to dispel it, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom on earth, with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Although Arjuna was putting forward so many arguments based on knowledge of the principles of religion and moral codes, it appears that he was unable to solve his real problem without the help of the spiritual master, Lord Sri Krishna. He can understand that his so-called knowledge was useless in driving away his problems, which were drying up his whole existence, and it was impossible for him to solve such perplexities without the help of a spiritual master like Lord Krishna. Academic knowledge, scholarship, high position, and so forth, are all useless in solving the problems of life. Help can be given only by a spiritual master like Krishna. Therefore, the conclusion is that a spiritual master who is 100% Krishna conscious is the bona fide spiritual master, for he can solve the problems of life. Lord Chaitanya said that one who is master in the science of Krishna consciousness, regardless of his social position, is the real spiritual master. Iva Vikla Iva Nasi Sukla Kinoi Ye Krishna Tattva Vetatse Guru Vipra. It does not matter whether a person is a Vipra, learned scholar and great wisdom, or born in a low family, or isn't there an outskirt of life. If he is master in the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. It is also said in Vedic literature, Chattarma Nipano Vitro Mantra Tantra Visharada Avaishnava Guru Anasyad Vaishnava Shapacho Guru. A scholarly Brahmana, expert in all subjects of Vedic knowledge, is unfit to become a spiritual master without being a Vaishnava, more expert in the science of Krishna consciousness. But a person born in a family of a lower caste can become a spiritual master if he is a Vaishnava or Krishna conscious. The problems of material existence, birth, old age, disease, and death, cannot be counteracted by accumulation of wealth and economic development. In many parts of the world, there are states which are replete with all facilities of life, which are full of wealth and economically developed. Yet the problems of material existence are still present. They are seeking peace in different ways, but they can achieve real happiness only if they consult Krishna or the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, which constitute the science of Krishna, to the bona fide representative of Krishna, the man Krishna consciousness. If economic development and material comforts could drive away one's lamentation or family, social, national, or international inequalities, then Arjuna would not have said that even an unrivaled kingdom on earth or supremacy like that of the demigods in the heavenly planets would be unable to drive away his lamentations. He sought, therefore, refuge in Krishna consciousness, and that is the right path for peace and harmony. economic development, or supremacy over the world can be finished at any moment by the cataclysms of material nature. Even elevation into a higher planetary situation, as men are now seeking on the moon planet, can also be finished at one stroke. The Bhagavad Gita confirms this. Tine punye marcha lokam vishanti. When the results of pious activities are finished, one falls down again from the peak of happiness to the lowest status of life. Many politicians of the world have fallen down in that way. Such downfalls only constitute more causes for lamentation. Therefore, if we want to curb lamentation for good, then we have to take shelter of Krishna, as Arjuna is seeking to do. So Arjuna asks Krishna to solve his problem definitely, and that is the way of Krishna consciousness. Om Jnana Chimanam Nisya, Jnanam Jnana Slaka, Chakshir Mulitam Jena, Kazumai Shri Guru Vekana. Those of you who were here yesterday, you heard how basically material life is a network of complexities that simply offer you a condition of being perplexed. Everywhere I turn, I see difficulty. I'm sure that almost all of you have come across that point at some time in your life. Whichever way you turn, whatever decision that is available to you will lead to something unpalatable or difficult. It is times like these when you really feel the need for some higher connection in your life. When you see that all your possibilities are unsatisfactory. Everybody feels that pressure at least one point in their life, and it's enough for them to practically even want to give up their life. Arjuna is in such a situation. Whatever decision he makes, he feels, is going to be disastrous. If he chooses to fight and is victorious, how can he enjoy the kingdom? Because the gain of the kingdom will depend on killing his friends and relatives and teachers on the other side. Arjuna asks in so many ways, what does it matter what I do? It'll all bring misery. There will not be any happiness for me in what I do. And of course, he's bringing up points about society and relatives. How can I be happy when they'll all be dead? The victory will be tainted with blood. So this sounds very exalted. And from what angle of view it is. By Arjuna's hesitation to fight, he's demonstrating great mind and sense control. He's restraining himself from what he feels is selfish behavior. Why should there be suffering caused just by my necessity to gain the kingdom? It's not worth it. Maybe I should just be a beggar and forget the whole thing. So it is true. This dilemma that Arjuna is in demonstrates his great mind and sense control. In the midst of a very great crisis, he's able to maintain such deliberation and such analysis that those qualities are impossible for someone who is addicted to sense gratification. How many of you have tried in your life to be very analytical of what you're doing and to deliberate very deeply about what you're doing, but you had a lifestyle of uncontrolled senses? You might have even tried to deliberate about your life's options, but you may remember you couldn't do it. First of all, most people today don't even try to deliberate about their life. They just look and see which sense is pushing them the most. And they give in to that. Yes, that's what you should do. In fact, so many New Age books tell people that your body is the best indicator of truth. You want to know what to do? Consult your body. If doing something gives a good feeling to your body, that's right. And if doing something gives a bad feeling to your body, then that's wrong. Tell what is right and wrong just by how your body feels. This is being broadcast to people. So they just try to understand, what would be the best thing for my senses right now? And everybody encourages them that this is actually a very good thinking process. Just consult your senses and how your senses feel now. They'll say it in other ways, like go with the flow, or it's all up to you. That simply means, how do my senses feel right now? That will determine how I make the decision. But to actually deliberate and explore the options of your life takes a cool head. It takes a person who has been trained in mind and sense control. So our point is that people cannot even make good material decisions because they don't have sense control. What to speak of making spiritual decisions? When you are absorbed in vice, the four pillars of Kali Yuga, your brains become destroyed. And therefore, you actually don't even care about yourself. You just care about how you're feeling for the moment. Now, contrast that kind of degraded mentality, which is the norm these days, with the mentality of Arjuna. He's saying that, although I've been wronged, and it's justified that I fight, I cannot do it because I don't see how the fighting will actually bring any good. Especially since, in order for me to be victorious, I have to kill my own relatives and friends and former teachers. How will I be able to enjoy the victory? If victory depends on the death of all these persons who were close to me. So therefore, he offers the basic dilemma to Krishna. I don't know what's better, to conquer them or be conquered by them. In other words, all my options are bleak. All my options, they are unattractive. In fact, all my options look very distressing. The way of material life is constructed so that sooner or later everyone falls into situations like these. All my situations look bleak and dismal. No matter what I choose, there'll be a problem. These situations are wonderful for turning to spiritual life. Krishna consciousness is actually the property of the materially exhausted. Those who see that material existence is futile, they can more easily become Krishna conscious than those who have hope in sense gratification. Now you have to analyze yourself and see how it is that you have hope in sense gratification. You have to catch yourself with this. It's like apprehending a thief, a very clever thief. What is sapping the vitality of our spiritual determination? What is corroding our spiritual endeavors and our spiritual efforts? Is this hope that I will be happy in the material world? So you have to analyze and uproot that false hope. It's not just an innocent thing. Oh, well, I have a little hope in material pleasure. I have a little hope that I'll be all right. That hope is entangling. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna uses the words asa pasa, the entangling network of hope, or the snare of materialistic hope. It's not just an innocent thing. Yeah, I'm optimistic about the future. Yeah, I'm feeling good about myself, and I'm feeling good about what I'm doing. Many times you hear people say that. Whether they really believe it or not, you can say, but they say it like that. Yeah, I'm feeling good about myself. Yeah, I'm feeling good about what I'm doing. I'm studying, or I'm working, or this or that. I'm feeling good about it. So it seems an innocent thing. But actually, remember, asha, pasha, the entanglement, the trap, or the snare of hope. It's not an innocent thing. It leads to great problems. By having hope in material success, you leave yourself wide open for deep entanglement in material nature. Arjuna is in a situation in which he feels hopeless. But what has he done in that hopeless situation? He's turned to Krishna. Therefore, there'll be complete success. You see, it's not enough just to be materially hopeless. Many people in the world are like that, but the problem is they don't turn to Krishna. And certainly, if you're feeling proud and arrogant in material life, you have a very difficult time turning to Krishna. Still, the point is, just because you're feeling materially hopeless doesn't mean automatically you're going to become Krishna conscious. What is required to become Krishna conscious? Association with devotees. Because everyone gets tired of material life from time to time. But what happens? They're fatigued for a period of time, and then they, once again, start having hope. Yes, there'll be some happiness. I should push on. So their fatigue with material life only lasts a short time. They don't have the association of devotees, so therefore that fatigue with material life does not translate into devotional progress. But for those who associate with devotees, when they feel fatigue from material life, then in that condition, they very eagerly take up Krishna consciousness. So that fatigue is a blessing. I'm sure you've all tried to explain the need for Krishna consciousness to someone who is very hopeful about their material possibilities. It's very difficult. Very difficult. They don't see that that hope is what is ensnaring them. They think that hope is a very precious thing. I feel good about myself. I feel good about the future. Ordinarily, people would think this is a very worshipable quality. They get very envious of persons who feel successful and that they're going to be even more successful. They buy so many books and go to so many workshops and take so much counseling just to feel confident and good about their material possibilities. They come here and we'll just tear it down right away. For free. So you have to ask, why is that? What's wrong with feeling good about my material possibilities? First of all, you are not matter, so why should you have material possibilities? Why is Arjuna feeling the pinch, to say the least? He's demonstrating that there's a basic incompatible situation. We are pure spirit soul embedded in a world of matter. So there'll be no proper satisfaction and hope until that situation is fixed. Spirit cannot be satisfied with matter. But we feel hope that's going to happen. That is what it means to be a materialist. To have the hope that matter will satisfy. Now just think about that. To have the hope that matter will satisfy you. And to become Krishna conscious begins with losing that hope. You begin to back away from this feverish condition and thinking matter will satisfy you. When you understand things in this way, when you understand what it means to be a materialist, in that way, accurately, then you see clearly what's going on. A materialist is one who has hope that matter will satisfy him or her. That matter comes in many shapes and forms, whether plastic or metal or flesh or whatever. Still the hope is there. Even mind and emotion and thought, that's also matter, it's subtle matter. So a materialist is one who thinks that either gross or subtle matter will satisfy me. Now look at what Arjuna is saying today. He's saying, even if I win a prosperous, unrivaled kingdom, even if I have the power that a demigod does in the heavenly planets, still my grief will not leave me. So he's giving you a glimpse into the material dilemma, the material problematic situation, by using cosmic examples. This is the wonder of Bhagavad Gita, one of the many wonders of Bhagavad Gita, that your vision is opened up to being able to understand the whole cosmos. You might say to your friends, ordinarily speaking, you might say, nothing will satisfy me. Nothing will drive this despair away. Even if, what? Even if someone gave me a trip to Hawaii. Even if I became the most famous musician, still nothing would take this despair away from me. So we use those kind of examples because our awareness of the cosmos is very small. Now just contrast our puny awareness with that of Arjuna. He doesn't say like we would say, although he's feeling that same grief by Krishna's arrangement. What does he say? Even if I win the power that a demigod in the heavenly planets has. So he goes off planet with his example. He goes extraterrestrial on it. Just to widen your vision that Earth is just one insignificant planet amongst countless planets in the cosmos. So Arjuna is saying, still, even if I win the power that the higher entities in the higher planets have, still I will not be able to drive away the greed. It's a very powerful example. He's not even talking about anything available on Earth. He's saying the power that's available in the heavenly planets. If I get that, I still won't be satisfied. If I get that on Earth, I won't be satisfied. This is a very strong statement. Indirectly letting you know that the spirit soul will not be satisfied by any amount of gross and subtle matter. This is the message that we need to hear. Because we are addicted to looking for happiness and fulfillment in matter. Those who are going out for distributing Bhagavad Gita and other Krishna conscious literature at the airport, this is what they're up against. They're dealing with people who have hopes in matter. And every once in a while, they meet someone who is in a despairing condition. But generally, people are upbeat. Airports make you feel upbeat, like you're going places, you're going somewhere. People always have a kind of a heady feeling at the airport that I'm about to take off. It's kind of a little bit of an excitement in the air. Why? Because it's natural that the spirit soul is free of problems. So people, when they're at airports and about to catch a flight, they get a glimpse of an artificial freedom from problems. I'm getting on the plane and going up in the air, away from things. Stay slightly. That lets you know that the real condition of the person, spirit soul, is to be free from problems permanently. So all day long, our Krishna conscious book distributors are dealing with people's hopes in material happiness. They are hopes that matter will satisfy them. So it's a very difficult job, but they get Krishna's blessings for doing this difficult task. Of course, Srila Prabhupada has made the task so accessible by granting us his books. We can study Arjuna's situation. It's a very personal thing. Don't think this Bhagavad Gita is like just dry philosophy or high metaphysical talk. No, this Bhagavad Gita is right there in your gut, in your heart. Arjuna is saying, I've got grief and I can't drive it away. Even if I win the power that the higher entities in the cosmos have, still this grief in me will not leave. You're feeling the impact of material life head on. Sometimes we don't maybe like to read these first two chapters of Bhagavad Gita because the impact is so straight there. Arjuna, he starts off the chapter by saying, Krishna is observing Arjuna's condition. Seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudana, Krishna, spoke the following words. So you all know what it's like to be depressed sometimes. Your mind is depressed. Your eyes full of tears. Now remember, Arjuna's not an ordinary person. He's not like the wimpy men we have today. Arjuna is topmost warrior, yet his eyes are full of tears. Once you understand the caliber of a person like Arjuna, then you can appreciate that his eyes are full of tears. Now it's true that Arjuna is not simply thinking of himself, he's thinking of others. But still, Krishna is going to chastise him that you are in ignorance. You don't know how to apply your compassion. We like to take pride and give ourselves credit for misapplied compassion. It's like we've appointed ourselves as helpers. I'm going to help someone. I'm going to feel compassion. But what do we know? That's Krishna's point to Arjuna. Krishna is saying, you think you're helping. You think you're being compassionate, but you don't know. In other words, real compassion depends on knowledge of the spirit soul. If you really care for people, then why don't you take the trouble to develop the proper knowledge that will help them? But everyone wants to be compassionate and care without any qualification. It's like everyone wanting to be a doctor without any training. None of you will allow someone to operate on you if they're not qualified. Suppose you have a tumor in your brain, and I come up to you and say, I feel so sorry for you. You have a tumor in your brain. I want to help you. I cannot stand this. You have a tumor in your brain. Just seeing this is just, my eyes are filled with tears. I'm mentally depressed. You have a tumor in your brain. I must help you. Please give me a knife. Any knife will do. A butter knife. You know, whatever. Let me operate in your head. I must help you. I'm so compassionate. I cannot allow you to suffer. Please bring the butter knife. Let me operate on your brain. What would you say to that? No. Why would you say no? Because the person has no qualification. You want to find the most qualified doctor or surgeon and have the operation. So why is it that we give so much importance to people's compassion when there's no qualification? But no one will think like that, because as long as people's lives are sinful, they can't think straight. So they just focus on the feeling. You're caring. You're loving. You want to help. If you really care, why don't you get qualification? No one thinks about that. I was talking to one of our newer devotees today, and he was feeling compassion for his young daughter who was with his family that he had to walk away from in order to become Krishna conscious, because the mother was not interested in Krishna conscious. So you can really get yourself worked up about it.
My daughter. My wife. I have to live without them. How can I go on?
So I have to point out that a lot of this so-called compassion, even without analyzing the compassion, a lot of the feeling was simply skin disease.
Their skin, it's no longer with me. Yes!
So much of what we call love is concerned with the skin. You actually feel so empty without the presence of that skin. You don't say it like that. Instead, you see a whole world that's become empty without that skin contact, and you start thinking, who will care for them? And you get real sociological and psychological, but it's all just due to skin, really. You're missing that skin. And you know, your offspring, that's your own flesh and blood. My creation, my daughter, my son. Part of me. How could I live without that? And then if you want to analyze the feeling as compassion, I pointed out to the person, what can you actually do for these in this situation? Your wife is not going to become Krishna conscious. You tried for what? 1 week? 1 month? 4 months? 1 year? 4 years. That's time enough? 4 years. So, in the attempt to be compassionate, he admitted, you know, he was just so frustrated over the 4 years that he was just becoming absorbed in intoxication, trying to be compassionate, and then realizing it wasn't working and just becoming overwhelmed by sinful activity. So, we have to be intelligent. I'm feeling this thing that I think is compassion, but what can I actually do for the person? I kept bringing this point up again and again. What can you actually do in this situation? What value can you do for the people? It's a little tough to see like that, because in material life you're not trained to be honest. You're just trained to be bewildered. But Bhagavad Gita cuts through the bewilderment so clearly. And actually, I found many people don't like that. Bhagavad Gita is too clear, it's too sharp. People want fuzziness, vagueness, nebulousness. They don't want to grasp the problems of life. They want everything to be very mystical. You know what Prabhupada's definition of mystical is? When someone says, well, the answer is very mystical. The understanding is very mystical. Prabhupada would just say, that means you don't know. You know, people say something mystical, just means they don't know. So, people try to make it like the problems of life are a real riddle, a real mystery. And Bhagavad Gita cuts right through to that. Just like Krishna cut right through to Arjuna. You're speaking big words, but you don't know what you're talking about. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the value of life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy. See, in every text of Bhagavad Gita, you get more knowledge than you bargained for. So not only is Krishna pointing out that Arjuna's compassion is bogus, but he's also saying that he's giving you some extra terrestrial knowledge. These kind of qualities don't take you to the higher realms of the cosmos. They degrade you. And you're hearing today how Arjuna said, even if I win the power of the demigods in the heavenly planets, still I won't be satisfied. So in Bhagavad Gita, you get a complete picture of spiritual and material truth. You learn about this planet, you learn about other planets, you learn about the spiritual world. All while seeing Arjuna go through his crisis. It's a very personal book. When you read Bhagavad Gita, you should feel it deep in the heart of you. Arjuna's grieving, his depression, his crying. And Krishna's chastisement. Some people think that Bhagavad Gita is a very heartless book because it's urging killing. No. Bhagavad Gita is the most heartfelt experience. It gets you to see what real heart is, what real integrity is, what real courage is. We need to learn that. Otherwise, we are so eager to march off under the banner of so-called compassion, when actually we're just ignorant. We're so eager to, you know, care and to help and to love, as if we would, as if somebody's appointed us to do that. I hereby appoint you as a helper. I hereby appoint you as a carer. Show love, show care, show help. You are officially appointed. Everyone has that attitude. I've been appointed to care for you.
How can you live without me?
We acquire this false occupation of helping and caring when we have not the slightest idea what we're doing. And then in Krishna consciousness, when we point out to people, yes, please help, please care, please love, by becoming qualified, oh, this is too heavy, this is not heartfelt.